Deuteronomy chapter 7, 7 through 9. And the thought that highlights for us these verses, where you have come is God's faithfulness to Himself. Where you have come is God's faithfulness to Himself. There are three things that every Christian, every church, and every religious institution should keep in mind if they will be sober about their successes and be encouraged during their times of difficulties. And these three things are: one, that we are chosen by God's grace when we were no asset to Him. We were chosen by God's grace when we were no asset to Him. Two, that the place at which we are is due to God's promise to continue His good work. Where you are today is the faithfulness of God, the commitment of God to continue His good work in you. And three, that we will reach our final destination because God is faithful to His word. Had Israel remembered these things after they entered the land of promise, they would not have suffered as they did. They would not have been enslaved so many times. They would not have been dispersed from their land, because they would have remembered to be faithful and to be obedient to God. But they forgot. And the result is that they are still struggling, even today, to be a nation. At this point in our text, Israel is standing on the other side of the Jordan River, looking over into the Promised Land. They had left Egypt some 40 years ago. They had come to the Promised Land in less than a year. But because of disobedience, they were made to wander for 40 years. Until now, when most of those who left Israel had died in the wilderness. But now God is determined to fulfill His promises to them. So they once again come to the Jordan, and they're now looking over into the Promised Land. And now they are to go over and take it, because God has given it to them. The first six verses of the text is that God, Moses, is communicating to Israel what their attitudes should be towards the heathen people who occupied the land. How they would get rid of them and make sure that they did not associate with them or worship their idols or become a part of their wickedness or give their sons and daughters to their sons and daughters to marry. Because God says they would turn you away from me. And now in our text, Moses is reminding them of who they are and what they are. Now, who and what they are is demonstrated or manifested by what God had done for them thus far. In other words, why are you here where you are? How did you get here? That should be enough to tell them, to let them know that they were a peculiar people, a special people, a people belonging to God, which should have made the difference in how they live their lives. I ask you today, Lighthouse Queens, do you know who you are based on what God has already done for you? And others of you who are saved, what has God done in your life to communicate to you that you are special to Him? And if you're here and not saved, what is it that God wants to do in your life today? I draw your attention to the text as we study it together. Number one, God's faithfulness to Himself is the reason for His choice of you. God's faithfulness to Himself is the reason for His choice of you. Look at me. Look with me at the text. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. The text is clear, isn't it? God's choice of Israel as a people and a nation had nothing to do with their ability or their virtue. Had nothing to do with what they could contribute to God. One of the thing that they failed to remember and which result in their going astray is that God chose them without a cause in them. Without anything that would make God be inclined to them. For the text says, you were the fewest of all people. It was not as though they were a great nation. A matter of fact, when God chose them, they were not even a people. For God, you see, called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldeans, from the land of idolatry and wickedness. His people, his family were idolatrous people. And God called that one man out of Ur to follow him. And from Abraham came Isaac when he was almost 100 years, and his wife was by now barren, long past the age of childbearing. Isaac was born. And then from Isaac came Esau and Jacob, and God chose Jacob to be the lineage through which he would raise up a nation for himself. And from Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel. And then by the time they went down to Egypt under Joseph, there were total 70 people. But God chose them. There were 70 people. And by the time they left Egypt, 430 years after, they were now numbering about 2 million people. Now the Proverbs 14:28 says, a large population is a king's glory. A large population is a king's glory. So then what glory was Israel to God? What glory was Israel to God? You see, Israel was no glory to God. Out of a large population, a king can raise up a large army to defend its country. But when Israel came out of Egypt at Mount Sinai, when they were numbered, they had only 604,000 men over 20 years of age. So was Israel God's glory? No. God does not need you to be his glory. He is our glory. While men need to find glory in their greatness and their power, God does not need for us to be his glory. But you know why he calls you? Because he wants to show you his glory. He wants to reveal his glory in and through you. If you will remember when God called you a lighthouse, what asset were you to God? What greatness did you contribute to God? He saved you one by one. The text says that he set his affection and love upon you when you were no asset to him. I want you to get it, my friend. When he set his affection and love upon you, you could contribute nothing to him, yet he loved you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did God love us? God loved us when we were incapable of loving him. You see, he's not looking for us to be his glory, because he wants a people through which he can manifest his glory. He saved you one by one, wherever you were. After having placed his love upon you, he saved you, he called you, and he saved you. And then wherever he brought you from, he brought you to Queens, New York. And then one day he laid it upon one or two of your hearts, pastor's heart, to come together and to form a church. There was nothing great about you. There was nothing great about you. But God had set his love upon you. He had set his affection upon you. And at the right time, he called you to himself. And he called you to become a people. And he called you to become a church so that he would work his will through you. Don't ever forget what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose you. Are you hearing me? But God chose you. He chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak thing to shame the strong. So that, and listen now, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You and I have no holiness. We have no righteousness. If we have any at all, it is what has been imputed to our account, so that God in his righteousness would receive us into his family. Remember what you were when he called you. He wanted to manifest his glory in and through you. If you remember this, if you remember this, you will not take for granted your position in Christ. If you remember this, brethren, you will not abuse God's love for you. If you remember this, you will not shirk God's calling upon your life. If you remember that he has called you so that he would manifest his glory in and through you. Remember wherever you are. Remember wherever you go that you are the channel of God's manifest glory. So when do you not shine for him? Remember what you were. Number two, God's faithfulness to himself is why he brought you where you are today. Now here's the second truth that Israel failed to remember and which resulted in their suffering. They failed to remember that their deliverance was God's commitment to them. Was God's commitment to them. Look with me at verse 8 of the text. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now here's what the text says. You must remember the why and the how of God's dealings in your life. You must remember the why and the how of God's dealings in your life. Now look at the why. why did God deliver them from Egypt? Look at what the text says. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out. Did you see that? Why did he do it? His words. His words. His faithfulness to his words. His faithfulness to his promises. Here's what God said to Abraham long before even Isaac was born. God made him this promise. Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country that is not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. Genesis 15, 13 through 14. Here's what God says. He made promises that this will happen. The Israelites would be a slave, but then on the proper time, he would come to their rescue. Yeah, since Jehovah is not a false god, is not like the false gods who cannot speak or act, or since he is not a man that he should lie, listen to me carefully. Israel's redemption was sure even under the weight of slavery. Consider, my friend, year after year after year, one generation after another, died in slavery. What might have been their thought? Is God real? Does he keep his promises? Is he the true God? Is he any different than the idols of Egypt? Does he have any power? Why then, if God, if Jehovah is truly God, why is it that one generation after another died under the taskmaster's whip? And yet, in the midst of all of that, Israel's deliverance was guaranteed. Did you hear me? Their deliverance was guaranteed. Even as they trod in the mud pits of Egypt, and under the weight of the bricks they carry, their deliverance was sure. Because the God who promised cannot lie. Hear me, Lighthouse. Are there times when you felt that, Pastor Thomas, are there times you wonder, did this make sense? Should you really have started this work? It doesn't seem as though you are getting any place. You are marking time. And yet if the Lord had called you, the success of the work was sure. In spite of what it looked like, in spite of what it felt like, in spite of what it seems like, if God called you, the success was guaranteed. arriving here today was a sure thing. But you didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that. Sometimes wonder, had he forgotten you? But he showed you now that he has not forgotten you, has he? You see, the why is, every promise in the book is true. That's the why. Every promise in the book is true. But then there is the how of their deliverance. Look at the text with me. The how of their victory. He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh. Whose hands is mightier? Whose hand is mightier? He brought you out with a mighty hand from the power of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had power, but God had all power. You might have come upon the city when certain things needed to be done, and it seems as though they would turn you down, but God was more powerful than this city. God was more powerful. And now they are called to remember. Would they remember how the Lord their God led them all the way through the desert these 40 years? Now listen to this. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3. You see why God took you the road he did? You see why he allowed certain setbacks to happen? Do you understand now why the difficulties and the hardship? He was testing you to see whether or not you were true to your calling, whether or not you would be faithful. When things get hard and difficult, whether or not you would give up and turn back. Testing you to see what was in you. It hasn't been smooth. It has not been a bed of roses. It has not been an easy path. No building of a church or starting a church is easy. But if it is God's church, even when it seems that it's dying, if it is God's church, he will bring it back. There are times when he brings us to the brim, to the point, to the edge, to test us. As in Deuteronomy 8:2, bring us to the brim to test us, to teach us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He brings you to the brink. Then he brings you back so you can see his glory. Know that he is on your side. So I remind you, Lighthouse, when you are tempted to congratulate yourselves, remember it is the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability and the strength. Whenever pride begins to puff you up, remember that there is no righteousness in you. All your righteousness is God's righteousness. Remember when you are beginning to doubt and fear. Remember where he has brought you from. Look back. from whence you have come. I like that old hymn you sung. One of my old favorite hymns I have not heard. Roll back the curtain of memories now, and then show me where you brought me from, and where I could have been, and where I could have been. I think often, if God had not saved me, whether or not I would not have been dead long ago. And where I could have been. Remember, Lord, I am only human. And human forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. Who brought you here? God's faithfulness to Himself. His word is true. And He will carry on what He has started. Third and last, God's faithfulness to Himself is why He will take you to your final destination. God's faithfulness to Himself is why He will take you to His final destination. Look with me at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Think of that. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Know that Yahweh, your Elohim, is Elohim. What is the importance of this? Oh, my friend, if you miss this, you miss the whole point. Know therefore that Yahweh, your Elohim, is Elohim. Know therefore that Jehovah God is your God. He is the God. In other words, there is no other God. There's a chorus that says, who is like Jehovah? There is no other God beside Jehovah. Now you know Israel needed to remember this. You know why they do need to remember? In Egypt, where they came from, even the pharaohs were gods. And there were many idols in Israel that were gods. Along the way to where they now stand, all along the way, all the nations had many gods, idol gods that they set up and worship. And in the land of Canaan, where they are going, every nation had gods. They needed to remember that there is only one true God. Oh, my friend, how they forgot this. How they forgot this one. Every so often we find Israel worshipping the Asherah, worshipping the Baal, bowing down before the heathen God. They forgot that Yahweh, their Elohim, is the only Elohim. The result, they suffer. They suffer greatly because of this. What a sad situation. When we forget who our strength is, where our strength lies, who is the basis of our strength, Jehovah God is the God, the only God. But now, my friend, look with me. Israel is standing on this side of Jordan. God had brought them now 40 years through the wilderness. And they are looking now over into the promised land. And God says, go take it. You know why they hadn't taken it 39 years before? Because when they were sent to spy the land, there were those who came back and says, we can't go in there. Because the men are giants, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And then he came back with the report, and the people of Israel rebel. They say, we can't do it. They rebel, and God says, all right, because of your disobedience, you will wander the desert until every one of you who left Egypt died. And now they're all dead, except Caleb and Joshua. Now standing looking, and God says again, go take it. It belongs to you. But listen, my friend. There the Bible says in the same chapter, in verse 2, in verse 1, it says there there's the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations, larger and stronger than you. There is a wall that surrounds Canaan that is high. It is 12 feet thick. Chariots with spearmen traverse the top of the wall, looking down. Nobody can come. Their spears will get you before you get to the foot of the wall. But God says, go take it. Why? Yahweh, your Elohim, is Elohim. Go take it. Go and possess it. I will give it to you. How are they going to take it? How are they going to take it, my friend? Dear God is going to give it to them. Now go back to verse 1. Of chapter 7. When the Lord your God brings you. Get it? When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations. Look at it, brethren. How are they going to possess the land? The Lord, their God, is going to bring them into it and drive out those who are in it. Yahweh, your Elohim, is the only Elohim. And He is going to drive out. He is going to drive out all the inhabitants of the land and give it to you. Well, go now and take it. Do you see where our strength lies? You have not reached the end of your journey yet, Lighthouse. We don't know what God still has in store for you, where yet He will take you. I'm sure you have hills to climb and valleys to traverse. There will be criticism. There will be negative comments. Discouraging and disappointing experience still ahead of you. You will yet have giants to face and difficulties. But God, Yahweh, your Elohim, is going ahead of you. Sometimes you will yet reach the point of discouragement, but when you get there, an unseen hand is going to pull you back so that you can see His glory once again. Sometimes when things are going too well, we tend to forget. God has to sometimes let us run the gamut. Just before we fall over the precipice, He put us back so we can say, thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have yet roads to traverse, hills to climb. You are yet marching to Zion.
beautiful, beautiful Zion. You are marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. But the road is difficult. There are Amalekites and Perizzites and Girgashites in the way to discourage you. There is everything to turn you back. But Yahweh, your Elohim, is God.
I come to tell you today that Jehovah Sabaoth is the general of the army of the unseen angels in heaven, who is ahead of you fighting your battle. The war is already won. The battle is won. Go in and take the land God is giving to you. I want you to know today that can overcome him. He is fighting for you today. Let me tell you about El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He is your general. He is ahead of you today. Go and take the land. He has given it to you. Will you take it, my friend? The Lord Jesus Christ has rose triumphant o'er the tomb. He's now victorious. He's leading the charge. He guarantees you success even when things look dark. He has guaranteed you one thing. You will be successful. You will reach heaven after your toil is over. The strife is o'er, the battle done. The victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. Hallelujah! 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 The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ, their legions, hath dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. Hallelujah! 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 The three sad days are quickly sped. He rises glorious from the dead. All glory to our risen head. Hallelujah! 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 He closed the yawning gates of hell. The bars from heaven's high portals fell. Let hymns of praise his triumphs tell. Hallelujah! 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 Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, thy servant is free, that we may live and sing to thee. Hallelujah! 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 May the Lord bless you.